worked. Amen. Gotta love it when technology works. Well, thank you all for being here. How's everybody's summer going so far? It's hard to believe it's already mid-July, isn't it? Man, our summers just go so fast. But we've had good rain, we've had sunshine, and hopefully everybody's getting some restoration. Some restoration. I was thankful for Ross. He was here last week preaching for me while we were gone away to the wedding, and grateful that he was here. But now we're going to go back to our series in 1 Peter. We've been looking at the book of 1 Peter. And Luther said, if there's any one book that I was forced to only have, it would be the book of 1 Peter. And so it's a good book. And what was happening is there was the Christians, the brand new Christians at the time. Peter was writing to his Jewish audience, knowing that also the Gentiles were reading this as well, because there was Jew and Gentile Christians. And they're new to the faith. This whole Christianity is brand new. And the Christians were being marginalized by the society, the Roman society at that time. And Nero was torturing them, was killing them. They were being slandered and all kinds of horrible things happening to them. So Peter's writing this letter to them to encourage them to keep going. The suffering that you're facing is all worth it because of Christ. And remember, he is with you always, as Matthew said. Remember, even to the very end of the age. So he's reminding his readers, the brand new Christians, this is a whole new thing, to keep the faith, to hold on firm. Don't swerve left or right. Keep your eyes on the prize, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that's his purpose of writing this letter to the Christians at the time. And so the last message I gave on 1 Peter, it was good old chapter 3 of 1 Peter, talking about wives submit and husbands in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives. And so we talked about that and what submission means. And again, it's not holding that wife under your thumb and do as I say. You don't get a voice in it. Like the Brethren Church I grew up in, women could not speak. They had to wear a doily on their head and be quiet. The services were very quiet. And that's not what the text is meaning. It was not. Women are allowed to speak. We want to hear their voice. And every wise husband who's figured it out will run their ideas by their wives. Tracy has saved me many times from a fire I could have created by her wisdom. And so submission does not mean pushing and squeezing under your thumb, do as I say, right? And actually to lead is a humbling thing, because the choices I make, I stand before God and make them. Will I make selfish choices for me, or will I make choices for my wife and my kids and the entire family as a whole? And so it's actually a position of humility, right? And so we talked about that last week. And so this week, we're going to go a little bit further into Peter, and we're gonna look at verse 8. And so let me open up to 1 Peter, and we're on chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 8. Here's what Peter says. After talking about wives and husbands, here's your roles. And again, many husbands will read the wives' letter and say, hey, you're supposed to do this. And wives will read the husband's letter and say, you're supposed to do this. But do you like somebody else opening your letter, your mail? No, you're supposed to open the mail that was written to you, right? Not the other person, right? I remember when I opened something of one of my kids, and they were a little ticked off. Dad, did you not see the name written on there? It says P-A-I-G-E, not C-H-A-D. That was my well. I'm so sorry. You're right. We don't like other people opening our mail. So husbands, be considerate. That's your job. That's your mail to read. And wives, submit. That is your mail to read. So starting at verse 8. Here's what Peter says after this. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Be like-minded. All right, repeat after me. Like-minded. Sympathetic. Love one another. Compassionate and humble. Let's say that again. I want to ingrain this in your head. This is what Peter's saying to the church. This is what I want you to be. Amen, sister. Like-minded. Sympathetic. Loving one another. Compassionate and humble. That is the call. How do we do that? How am I going to be like-minded, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble in the face of evil when those are imposing their evil on me? And that's what I want to talk about a little bit. How are we going to do what Peter's asking? Does like-mindedness, how can we be like-minded? All of us, well, let's just look, male and female, we think and do things very differently, don't we? How are we going to be like-minded in that? Right? How, haven't you said at one point in your life, oh, I just wish you would think more like me. I wish you would do things the way I do things. Right? My spouse is too selfish to think of me all the time. If they just think of me, we'd have no problems. How are we going to be like-minded? We grew up in different homes. We were raised in different places. We were taught different things from differing parents. And then we're going to come under one roof, and then Peter says, be like-minded. How do we do all that? We have these messages from our past, these hurtful messages that impact how we filter life, right? Right? You've been told you were stupid when you were young. Many people have heard it so many times, they begin to believe it. Right? I remember Tracy and I working with this one student when we were pastoring out in BC. And her dad called her, and I even heard it myself when I was dropping her off, a fat, ugly bee. I'm not going to say the word in church. And she heard it, and she was so thin, wasn't she? She was healthy. She was pretty. All the guys at youth group wanted her attention. But she heard that message for so long that she believed she was fat, ugly, and you know what else. We hear those messages, we start to believe it, and then we start to live out of that hurt, right? So with all of this going on, how are we as a church going to be like-minded? I want everybody to hear this, okay? So many people think unity comes from believing the same things. It doesn't. Unity comes from trusting the same person, right? And we can all trust Christ. So many of us have differing belief systems, right? And it came out as a result of what we were taught and then my experiences that I had growing up, right? And we form this belief system, and then we come in the church and we're all trying to find unity around those belief systems. But it won't work. The church's unity is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Amen? That's where this church of Provost Community Church, PCC, we find our unity by trusting Him together. Amen? We do that and we'll become like-minded. But if you're going to live like this person here, he's coming. And you read, I got control, brother. You can relax. All right? And if you look out of these lenses, okay? Because we look out of certain lenses. So if we look through the lens of our past, meaning the past messages that you've received in life, right? I don't know what your message is. Maybe you're a reject. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're a no-hoper. You have no value. You have zero worth. You're incapable of doing anything right. Everything you do is wrong. You're a waste of skin. You're insignificant. You're insecure. You're an unlovable, an untouchable. I don't know what your message, but these are messages I hear as I meet with people. Some of the messages I heard in my own life. And if you filter life out of that one lens of your past messages, things are going to get miscued pretty quick, distorted. You'll look through a distorted view. And the church cannot be like-minded and unify if we're looking through that lens of your past. The other one is your personality. We all have different personalities, right? Some of you, you're going to go park at Walmart, right? And the feeler, they're the ones who just keep letting everybody in, go ahead, and they park in the boonies and they have a long walk now into the mall. Because they're a feeler, they're about relationships and people, and they, go ahead. The thinker, he plans ahead of time, right? I'm going to get there early, I know I'll beat everybody here, I'll get that spot closest to the door, I can get in, get out, and get to work on time, right? And the doer, he's the one who cuts you off. You had your blinker to go in the space, but he doesn't care, and he just, boom, right? And we all have these differing personalities, right? But we have to filter that unique self, that temperament, that personality that God gave you. We want to be expressed through the Holy Spirit, amen? Right? But if we don't, we will also distort our unique selves. And now I can use my nice feeler to make people feel good, to make you feel good about working for me without you noticing. We can distort it, right? So we can use the natural, unique giftedness that God's given us for the flesh, not for the spirit. Amen? You've seen it happen, I'm sure, in your own life and others. And so we will never be like-minded as a church if we're looking through those two lenses of our past hurtful messages and our personality that God gave us. Remember in Psalm 121? I created you in your innermost being. I knit you together, right? In your mother's womb. So you had your personality before you even birthed into the world. God had already given it to you because he created you in your innermost being. He knit you together. So don't curse how you are and don't compare it to another. Oh, I wish I was more like him. I wish I was more like her. Don't. It's not worth comparing, is it? Right? An apple tree is an apple tree and an orange tree is an orange tree. You can't compare the two. They're two different things. Amen? And God made you who you are, but to be expressed through what? Him, the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for my drawing? That's the best circles I could come up with. I freehanded that. Thank you. You now know what my gifting isn't. My brother got all the artistic ability. All right? We want to look through the lens of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Spirit that he put in you. That's the lens that we want to look at life through. And all your past hurts and the personality that God gave you, those are part of your experience. Amen? Right? But we want to wrap that all underneath who you are in Christ. Right? Because he promises, right? I'll work everything for your good. Right? I'll work everything. Even your hurts. Even the worst thing that you're done. Even the worst thing that you did that you thought I'll never be forgiven for. He said you're forgiven. Amen? So we want to express our lives through the lens of Christ, the lens of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We do that as a church, and we will be like-minded. Amen? Okay? Unity does not come from believing the same things per se, but trusting the same person. And who is the person we trust? That's Sunday school answer, Jesus. Right? Right? It's always him. That's how we're going to be like-minded as a church. That is the only way we'll be like-minded together. Amen? We want to live and work through the lens of the Holy Spirit. And he says, be sympathetic towards one another. Love one another. be compassionate and humble. And you can do all that if you're living your life through these lenses. Amen? You can do that. It's ugly glasses, but our lives can be ugly, can't they? All right, I can work with this. Right? My life hasn't been just a straight path right towards him. I have a lot of left and right turns, but it's all inside of his will. Amen? And he's working everything for our good. But as a church, I want us to unify by trusting Jesus together. Amen? With our lives and the life of this church. Amen? Do we trust him? Yes, we can trust him. And so as you look through those lenses, as you live in Christ, as Paul uses so many times, be in Christ, be in Christ, do it in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, we will be sympathetic towards one another and the outside world. We will love one another. Because if you have everything in him, what can anybody else give you? Right? Right? That's how we love the enemy. Amen? That's how we'll draw those who don't know him. Because I don't need anything from you, so therefore I will never use you. Right? I will bless you. And that's what Peter is saying. For the evil that's giving to you, we turn and we bless. How can you do that? Only when you recognize you're full of Christ. Right? You're so full, what else do you need? It says you're full to overflowing. Remember I talked about Thanksgiving? Right? I was so full that pumpkin pie had no draw to me because I was stuffed. And I love pumpkin pie. Right? It lost all of its appeal. And the things of this world will lose its appeal to you when you recognize you're full in him. Amen? So we won't use people. We'll bless people because I have everything I need in Christ. Colossians, you have everything you need for life and godliness. Amen. Isn't it good news? Right? I love those preachers who stand up there and say, hey, I have nothing that you need, but let me help you recognize what you already have. Right? Let me tell you about the life that you invited into you and how full you truly are. Oh, if we get a hold of that as a church, you know how safe we'll be for this community and for each other? Because all we'll do is bless, bless, bless. That is the only way you can love the enemy. Verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, we do it differently, is what he's saying. On the contrary, we won't repay evil with evil. Somebody brings evil to you, don't extend evil back. Somebody insults you, don't insult them back. He is saying repay that evil with blessing. Because to this we are called, to bless for evil, so that you and me may inherit a blessing. And then, again, remember Peter? He's always drawing from the Old Covenant, from the Old Testament, right? And so he draws back to Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16. And this is what it says, and Peter writes it in his letter. For whoever among you would love life and see good days, you must keep your tongue from evil, your lips from deceitful speech. Turn from that evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue that. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those. Against. That's a strong word, no? But the face of the Lord is against those who choose to do evil. Right? So again, there is four different ways that we can respond. Four different ways. We can repay evil with evil. We can repay good with good. We can repay good for evil, or we can repay evil for good. That is the worst one. when good has been done to you and you turn around and repay with evil. Right? How many have seen that in their lifetime? Perhaps in our own life, or perhaps in the life of another. We, Peter says, we repay evil with good. We repay evil with blessing. Why? Because you have nothing you can give me that I don't already have in Christ. So I will bless you. Like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? And can we not say the same thing? I forgive you because you know you don't know what you're doing to me. You don't know what you're saying to me. Oh, Father, forgive them. May the blessing I return heap burning coals on their head so they can look at it differently. Amen? Right? It's not a sixth sense of satisfaction. Hoo-hoo, let me burn some coals on your head. Right? I want you to suffer. Suffer for what you did to me. Now, there's a fleshly sixth sense of satisfaction in that, isn't it? It's true. You know, when I'm writing a letter to someone who has been harsh with me, I have Tracy reread it, and I ask her, okay, honey, after you're done reading, I want you to tell me, will this redeem them or will it curse them? And she'll find that one sentence in there that I wanted to leave just to appease a little bit of my flesh. Well, I think you should take that out of there, hon. Really? I think that, did you see how I worded it, though? It was sugar-coated. Encouragement sandwich. This in, and that little message in the middle. No, honey, that will not redeem. That will only condemn. Right? We want to be redemptive in our dealing with others, and we can do it when you know and you choose to believe, not a feeling. Yeah, but Chad, I don't feel holy. Well, join the club. Right? God doesn't go by our feelings, does he? Right? He doesn't come and go as we choose by our emotions. He is there whether you believe it or not. He is who he says he is in you whether you believe it or not. He wants you to believe it. But we can't live this Christian life by feelings. We have to live it on the knowledge and the wisdom and the truth of God. Amen? What he says stands forever. Remember we read that? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God, Jesus, will stand forever. Amen? When you know that, you will allow others to curse you. You will allow others to bring evil towards you because, well, you have nothing I need. You can't move me. I am moved only by the Holy Spirit. And boy, does he move me. You want to grow deeper in Christ, you have to allow yourself to be put in situations where if he doesn't show up, you're sunk. Right? Now, some of the people I hang out with, it's not comfortable. Their conversation is not comfortable. Some of the things they do around me, it's not comfortable. I don't like it. I would rather just be here on Sunday morning and just hang with the people who I like and who are like me and think like me and know him. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to those uncomfortable places. Because he may want to work through you to bless them. Maybe they've never known another way. And maybe they need to hear it again and again and again and again. How many of you are tired of hearing the Christmas story at Christmas? Right? We don't get sick of it, do we? And sometimes we need to hear a message again and again and again and again. Yes, I will repeat myself. Right? The Indians, one of my mentors, that's how they write. They repeat a lot because they know we need to hear it again and again to ingrain it from that long distance from my head to my heart. Right? And that trip can seem like 1,000 miles, right? And if a message is worth hearing once, it's worth hearing 1,000 times. There's a saying for a reason, right? That's been around for centuries. Amen? We need to hear that again and again and again. We want to repay evil with blessing, Peter says. And you can do it because of what you have in Christ. Amen? That's how we do it, when you know you're full. Verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? I want to back up. Verse 11 says, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Did you notice that word? Pursue peace. Run after peace. Get after it. Right? Get after peace. What is peace? You know what I think of when I think of peace? I think I've mentioned this to you guys before. In Manitoba, where I grew up, there's a place called Shawmut Dam, Lake of the Prairies. And you come up this big hill, right? And you have to give her gas because it's pretty steep. But when you get to that top, you see this big, large lake and all the trees surrounding it. There's a waterfall from what they've dammed up running. And you can open up your window, and as you slow down coming in, you can hear the birds. You can hear the waves crashing against the shore. And when it's calm, you can see the reflection of all the hills and the flowers and everything around it. That's the condition of my heart. That's peace. When I look in that, can't you just picture it right now? Maybe you have a different picture, but that's the picture I have. Everything is calm. Everything is quiet. Remember in Isaiah 30? In quietness and trust is your salvation. Right? In quietness and trust is your strength. Peace you will only find in Christ. Amen? If you decide to live out of the lens of your past and personality, you will lose your peace. Why? Because he said, remember in John 17, I pray you might see you're one as the Father and I are one. Everything in God aligns and agrees, amen? Everything in him agrees. What he's thinking, what he's feeling, and what he chooses to do, they all align, amen? And that's why he says, fix your eyes on who? The problem? Your spouse? Your work? Your school? No. Fix your eyes on him. Because when you fix your eyes on him, he'll align your thinking with your feeling and your doing, what you choose to do. Amen? And that's when you have energy, right? Because all of us have experienced this, right? You're thinking something and you're feeling something different. And your mind's telling you it's stupid to feel that way, but you feel that way anyway. And then you choose to do something totally else. Or nothing because I don't know what to do, right? And it takes up a lot of energy, doesn't it? It consumes you, right? You're exhausted. And so he says in John, I pray you might see you're one as the Father and I are one. Everything in him agrees. And when you fix your eyes on him, you'll experience your peace. He'll align your thinking with your feeling and what you choose to do. Amen? And that is peace. So church, I want you to pursue that peace. So when I say pursue peace, what am I saying? Pursue him who lives within, right? Pursue him, say it with me, pursue him who lives within. One more time. You do that and you will find your peace. You will find your peace. Everything in you will align. And that's when you'll get the most done in your day. Because you're not fighting in amongst yourself. You're thinking, feeling, and what you do. Amen? See how it works? It's not rocket science, is it? It's pretty simple. Fix your eyes on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Amen? How many times have we sung that, right? Right? And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. We don't deserve it, but I'll sure take it. Amen? My whole life is banking on his grace. I need it every day, don't we? Seek peace and pursue it. Seek him, and you will find your peace. Oh, man. Well, amen. Okay. I'll finish with this thought. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what you're doing that is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats and do not be frightened. That comes from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 12. See, Peter's drawing again because he has a Hebrew audience, right? Right? He's convincing them. But even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. And here's the verse from Isaiah. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. If you have a pen and a piece of paper, I want you to write down Proverbs 29:25. Okay? And I want everybody here, I want people in this church, our people, to ingrain this proverb on their hearts and mind. And I'll just read it for you. Okay, here's what it says. Proverbs 29, verse 25. To fear anyone will prove to be a snare to you, but whoever trusts in the Lord will always be kept safe. Right? To fear anyone will prove to be a snare to you, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe always. Amen? So that's what Peter's trying to tell them. And remember, this would be very real. They're being slandered. They're being tortured. They're being killed. And they're saying, but Peter, we've been blessing them. And they just return evil. And Peter says, good. That is the way of the Lord, to return blessing for that evil. But even if you suffer what is right when you're doing right, you are still blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord of your life. Amen? The fear of man, it's a dangerous trap. But to trust the Lord is safety. I don't know what's going on in every one of your lives right now. Maybe there's some hurt. Maybe there's some scary things you're facing. You know, when we were had to move out of our house and there was nothing to rent, there was a little fear and intrepidation. Right? But over the years in being in ministry, we've been in this situation lots. And at one point, I just got on my knees and I said, Lord, I trust you. Because in trusting you, I'm safe in my heart. And I can live with the joy that we have in you, because in you I have everything. Amen? That's our response. We are to free nothing, fear nothing. Remember in 1 John, perfect love drives out all fear. And who is perfect love? Him. So fix your eyes on. Hey, Christianity is very simple, actually, isn't it? It's so simple, but it's impossible to live, because you can't do it on your own. Only he is the only one who can live the Christian life, right? He just wants to live it through you, if you'll choose him moment by moment by moment. Amen? Not carpe diem, but carpe momentum. Seize the moment. I don't even know if that's a word. I just made that up. All right, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. and they're gonna lead us in a song of praise. And as they come, I want you to think of the truth that you heard today. Think of the truth that in your heart you went, aha. You know the spiritual ahas, right? You've had it throughout your life. Or the divine amen. Oh, amen. Right? And as you heard this truth today, whatever God wanted you to hear, I want you to lift that up in praise right now as the worship team leads us in song. And let's dance in our hearts before the Lord, or physically if you want. Right? Go ahead. And let it be a prayer and a praise to him this morning. Would you stand with me? Worship team, thank you.